Everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern on the 24th of July, 2020. I have an interesting clip here. This man is a Russian, and he's talking about a kind of mind control that's being used on the American public. And I guess other countries have been subject to this as well. So in any case, you find...
He was born in 1939 in a suburb of Moscow. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union and became an expert in Indian culture and Indian languages. He had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. Well, you spoke several times before about ideological subversion. That is a phrase that I'm afraid some Americans don't fully understand. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interest of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, it doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have uploaded the full video to band.video from Yuri Benzimov in 1984. I mean, no, I play that because I'm a Russian agent. No, I play that because it's right, and it's all happening before our eyes. And it's time to wake up.
Wow. That leaves me a little speechless. Yes, we are currently being demoralized, and it certainly has had a hellacious effect on the United States, to the point that very, very disturbing, in fact, how many people are currently in this mind control state. And I'm a little speechless, I must admit. That had a tremendous effect, listening to that guy. I want to read from Contact Report 241 that talks about the importance of vitamin C, especially nowadays where we are dealing with a virus which is tremendously, it's impacted our culture. And it's impacted the culture probably not so much in an attack on our health, but a physical health, but more on the psychological state, I think, is probably the most damaging, which is why we're having lockdowns and all sorts of other things. But let me continue. In terms of the human body's vitamin C requirement, as it is given on Earth, the average value moves at 750 milligrams. With a body weight of 60 kilograms and light activity. This corresponds to 12.5 milligrams of vitamin C per kilogram of body weight. During heavy activity, the body's vitamin requirement increases to 14 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. Now, that's very interesting. They do take into consideration how the needs go up depending on whether you're going through heavy activity or not, which to me gives a lot of credibility to this information. Billy says, how does the measure then behave with medium activity? Patas says, a medium heavy activity is the same as a heavy activity. A person weighing 70 kilograms would have to consume about 900 milligrams of vitamin C per day. I'm not as good on these conversions. Maybe we can find a conversion right here. I'll just type here kilograms to pounds. That might make it a little easier. So 1 kilogram is equal to about 2.2 pounds. So what we were reading was saying 70 kilograms. Is about 154 pounds, which isn't very heavy. If you weighed 100 kilograms, you'd be 220 pounds. So a person that weighs 154 pounds needs about 980 milligrams of vitamin C per day. That seems like pretty much. This is correct. But it's only a guide because the rule states that 150 milligram increase is useful. So 150 milligrams should be added to each calculated result. For a person with a body weight of 70 kilograms, the required quantity would be calculated at 1,130 milligrams per day. On one hand, they said 980, and now they're saying 1,130. This is correct, Patassis. Billy says, so the measure of milligrams is on average only valid for a body weight of 60 kilograms and for light work. Correctly, the vitamin C requirement must be calculated according to kilogram body weight after heavy work. Most people fall into this category. Very few people actually perform light activities. I mean, even if you do have light activities in your work, you may work out, you may do some exercise that certainly would affect you. Vitamin C deficiency does not only affect the immune system, but also many other negative things appear, such as hereditary damage, eye damage, etc. Could you perhaps say something about this? That was Billy. Toss says, I can't get too detailed because on the one hand, this would take too much time, and on the other hand, I shouldn't reveal too much knowledge. Now, this is interesting. I wonder why talk can't reveal too much knowledge about vitamin C. That doesn't seem like it would be something that would be dangerous, but who knows? Vitamin C deficiency symptoms are not as harmless as people on Earth assume. Likewise, it is not harmless that the responsible scientists of Earth propagate. Likewise, it is not harmless that the responsible scientists of Earth propagate concerning wrong quantities of vitamin C needed for the human being of Earth, because the wrong data and wrong research results with damages which are caused to the human body, and diseases, etc., are forced, which could be nipped in the bud. Men as well as women endanger their offspring already with conception acts. If the man or the woman or the both together suffer from vitamin C deficiency, offspring whose parents suffer from vitamin C deficiency at the time of conception are at risk because their immune system becomes unstable and susceptible to allergies, ailments, and many diseases. Even the birth defects of innumerable forms and all sorts of other evils appear, including various cancers that could never occur if the progenitors did not suffer from vitamin C deficiency. First and foremost, DNA damage occurs, which then has lifelong negative effects. Wow. DNA is the basic molecule through which genes are passed on. That is so, yes. Vitamin C deficiency is an evil that can also lead to severe menstrual cramps in the female sex, but also to severe eye ailments. The poor healing of wounds is often a sign of vitamin C deficiency, as well as poor healing of diseases. However, it must not be assumed from my remarks that vitamin C alone is decisive for health and life, because this is not the case. Truthfully, many other vitamins are also of great importance, as are minerals. But no other vitamin and no other mineral has such an important function for man and his life and for his health as vitamin C, which has to be supplied to the body in relatively large quantities, which is unfortunately only possible today on Earth through special vitamin C preparations. Because food has not had sufficient quantities of this vitamin for a long time. This is no longer even true for fruits and vegetables and the like. Yes, that's probably true because even scientists are talking about it. Patas says, but it is still criminal how scientists continue to trivialize things, even though the situation regarding vitamin C deficiency is extremely serious for many people. This is true not only in this respect, but also in the AIDS epidemic, where so much is irresponsibly trivialized, allowing the epidemic to continue to spread unchecked as demonstrated by the unchecked increase since our conversation on May 18th, 1991. So I don't know, I don't hear much about AIDS anymore. I'm sure it's probably still out there, but it seems to be somewhat under control. I'm assuming. Maybe that's a wrong assumption. I have been working on the Might of Thoughts book again, particularly around pages 104 to 112. And I just want to bring up a few important points about feelings. And then maybe I'll talk a little bit in terms of overview. We haven't talked in terms of overview a long time. Important points about feelings. Feelings grow out of the thoughts. Feelings are life-sustaining. Feelings enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. Feelings simplify things. Feelings make life easier and bearable. Feelings also allow the thoughts to discharge. I didn't put that on my list. I haven't got to that yet. Might of Thoughts, page 104. Feelings are very important and are therefore also extremely useful. Consequently, they must not be fought and eliminated. Yeah, I think we've been taught to stifle feelings, and evidently that is not a good thing. Even if they're negative, there are healthy negative thoughts and feelings. It's hard for me to keep that in my mind because so much of us, so much of our thoughts are damaging, out of balance, negative thoughts and feelings. The feelings grow out of the thoughts. The emotions, which are different than feelings, are very spontaneous and reactive and fast. They're unsteerable as well. Might of the Thoughts, page 104. It must never be forgotten or disregarded that feelings have an existential and thereby life-sustaining significance and function. So feelings have some way of sustaining our life, so they're very important. For which reason they are useful and must not simply be stifled and abolished, nor manipulated in a one-sided form. Feelings enable a quick and automatic procedure for the processing of relevant indigenous or environmental stimuli. So, when you have feelings, they simplify things. So, let's say there's this circumstance, you know, you're at your work or something, and there are certain coworkers that are treating you bad or negative. And this gets real complicated maybe, and there's 40 or 50 things you could think of all at once, but instead you get a feeling from the situation. And it's a feeling that you're aware of because you've had it before. And this simplifies things for you. So it doesn't put your mind through that all that complexity and relive all that difficulty. So you just get a feeling. So feelings enable a quick and automatic procedure for processing of stimuli. So you're getting all this endogenous, which is internal stimuli, or you're getting all this environmental stimuli. So your body deals with that, all that stimulation, by creating a feeling. And these feelings also make life for the human being more bearable, easier to deal with. So it kind of simplifies things. They're very important. They allow your thoughts to discharge. Feelings represent primary processes in the carrying out of life, which is why they must not be stifled or eliminated. So even if you think you're having feelings, I guess, that are inappropriate, you shouldn't really stifle those because they're there for a reason. And they're part of your mind and your spirit and your body coping with certain things in reality. So these are some thoughts from the Might of Thoughts book. I would just throw at you quickly. The whole topic of feelings and thoughts is quite complicated and worthy of much attention. I'm going to read one little section here, and then I'm going to step back and give some overview information, which we haven't really touched in a week or two, probably. We get so deep into the weeds, it's really easy to forget the big picture. Fundamentally, it must be explained yet again, all of a human being's thoughts and feelings are important for him or her, regardless of whether their nature is negative or positive and whether it is conscious or unconscious. Manipulation of the natural state of the thoughts and the feelings must never be attempted by only thinking and feeling purely positively. I've probably been guilty of doing that, because I think the negative thoughts run so rampant sometimes that we want to fight against those so we can get back to a normal, neutral, positive thought process. Okay, so I've been throwing a lot of information at you from all these different contact reports, and still slamming you a little bit with Might of Thoughts, and we talked also a little bit about creational natural laws and the way to live. We touched on striving, but let me step back for a minute and tell you who Billy Meyer is. And I think it's good for all of us to hear this, and it kind of helps to have it all make sense to me anyway. Back around 1942 or 43, Billy had a very interesting experience before any of his contacts occurred. And if you look up how it all began at the Future of Mankind site, which I should be giving this out all the time probably, www.futureofmankind.co.uk, and go to that website and then search for how it all began. And this is a story about how when Billy was 4 years old, I'm guessing, he had a dream where he saw his body sleeping in bed, and he woke up and he crawled out of a lower window in his bedroom and sat down on a bench that his father had made and looked up at the beautiful starry skies, and he said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." Now, that's what this little boy, 4 years old, said. And he said, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." Well, since he was 4 years old, he probably hadn't lived among the stars yet, unless he's referring to his previous lives, which I believe he was. "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." So he, in his previous lives, in ancient times, he lived among the stars. And he had this incredible revelation that evening that he really couldn't tell anybody about. No one understood. He tried. He didn't have the right words, and the people couldn't really understand. I think Pastor Rudolf Zimmerman may have understood to a degree. It's very interesting that he said, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." And he felt this unfamiliar longing for the faraway worlds and the distant places. Now, this is a little boy, 4 years old, and he's stunned by this. So he's having conscious thoughts, unconscious thoughts, conscious feelings, unconscious feelings, the whole nine yards that we've been studying here in the Mind of Thoughts book. And that next year, he started to get telepathic messages from Svath. And Svath was an extraterrestrial human, and I know that's a new concept for a lot of people, but there are human beings all over the Milky Way galaxy and beyond, all over our universe. Not just on Earth. They're not, you know, there are human beings on Earth, but there are human beings on many other worlds. And that is a very difficult pill to swallow for people that have been taught to think a certain way, taught to look at things a specific way. Which unfortunately is happening all over the United States today. There's very much mind control and very few people that can think clearly without having these mental blinders that have been placed on them. Even Facebook has what they call the fact checkers, which is just censorship. That's just blatant censorship. So if the fact checker corrects you, then you're probably actually correct, because they only want certain information to be out there. So anyway, young Billy gets a telepathic message from a man named Svath, who was about 1,000 years old, who came from a world called Era. And Era was an extremely Earth-like world, but it had been terraformed 230,000 years earlier, when a man who had the title of King of Wisdom brought thousands of people and hundreds of ships to a particular solar system called the Pleiaren star system. And they terraformed three planets, one of which was astonishingly Earth-like. And they actually brought plants and animals from Earth to Era, which just has a little bit more gravity, has the same kind of ecosystems, has a little more oxygen because they haven't destroyed their ozone the way we have. So it's almost identical to the Earth of 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. And Svath was here to mentor Billy, and eventually took Billy up inside of his ship. And one of the most important things I think he told Billy was about his previous lives, which in the German we would call Vorgängers. And these previous lives would be the names that we call today Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And in each one of these earlier lives, he taught an ancient universal teaching called the Teaching of the Spirit, which is now found in the books like The Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken, The Way to Live, The Art zu Leben, The Talmud of Emmanuel by Judas Iscariot, The Psyche and Kelch der Wahrheit, which would be the Goblet of Truth. And all this information is written down now, so people like you and I can come here and learn about the creational natural laws and thereby live a healthier and much happier lifetime. Now, the problem is our society is in turmoil right now because, at least in the United States, it's under attack. But it's still fundamentally the United States and the people of the United States have believed many things for a long, long time that were false. And we could go into all the different categories of wrong thinking, but I don't think I want to go there right now. But just keep that in mind, that we are under assault psychologically. There's a tremendous amount of mind control to the people of the earth. And if something gets you angry, if someone says something that gets you angry, remember that is not a neutral positive thought. And you need to look internally and try to understand that and try to get back to a neutral positive state. Well, anyway, I hope you've enjoyed the show. My name is Mark Snyder. This is Ohio Exopolitics, and have a great day, and we'll get back to you soon, hopefully.